Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. There it is. I am the Lord. The title of the message tonight. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word, Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. Of course, God is speaking to Moses here, and He says, "Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with the great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, again we pray for your guidance as we look into your word. Open our eyes, our ears, that we may see you, that we may hear from you. Lord, we love you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, now we know the story of Moses, of course. Moses is at the beginning of the mission of a lifetime. Moses is, of course, God's chosen man to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian captivity. Now, up to this point, just prior to where we started reading, Moses had gone to Pharaoh, and he had made God's demand before Pharaoh. He said, "God says, let my people go." And Pharaoh's response was this, okay? It wasn't positive. This was Pharaoh's response. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." And then he went a step farther. Pharaoh, I'm speaking of. He then commanded that the children of Israel be forced in their slavery labor to make bricks without being provided straw. And so it really quickly he decided that Israel had become lazy, that they didn't have enough to do. And because they didn't have enough to do, they wanted to go out and worship in the wilderness. And they made this request. So Pharaoh had removed the straw for the bricks that they were making, and he was demanding them that they make bricks and come up with their own straw, and that they were not to be one brick short of the tally that was required them daily. And so, of course, this didn't work out well. They went out, spread throughout the land. They couldn't find enough straw to make enough brick, and they come up short. And so the taskmasters, of course, by the order of Pharaoh, begin to beat the officers of Israel and the children of Israel. And so Israel, in turn, turned on Moses and Aaron. And they blamed them for the trouble that Pharaoh had inflicted on them. And that brings us up to the point just prior to where we begin to read. And God is now speaking to Moses, who no doubt was a little bit discouraged. You ever been to that point? You know you're on God's mission. And imagine, okay, Moses has showed up in Israel, or Moses has shown up in Egypt. He's fired up. He's had the burning bush experience. He's talked with God. Now he's ready to go. And he goes before Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go into the wilderness and worship." And Pharaoh says, "I'm not only going to not let them go. I don't know your God. I don't care who your God is. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. But rather, I'm going to inflict even more hardship on the children of Israel." And they began. That was discouraging. No doubt Moses is thinking, what happened? And so, again, God speaks to Moses. And he does it in a way that is to grab Moses' attention. Okay? Man that's no doubt discouraged. He said in verse 6, "Say to the children, I am the Lord." That word, Lord, is Yahweh. And it's the proper name of God. Now I want you to consider, okay, in the Hebrew culture, the name held a much higher value than in our culture today. A name is just a name. You see me, you say, "Hey, Doug." Okay, it don't carry that. But in the Hebrew culture, a name would describe the character, even the essence of a person. And so the name Yahweh is only used in the Bible to describe the one true God, the Creator God. Okay? It's never used in association with idols or anything, angels or anything else. It's always in association with the one true God. And the name was so very special that most of the Hebrews would not even utter that name. As a matter of fact, most of them did not know how to say that name. Because out of respect, they wouldn't even allow the name Yahweh to pass through their lips. And so when God says, "I am Yahweh," it's like a really, well, this isn't good, but this is the best I can do. A really big, important person walking into the room and saying, "I am the King. I have all power. You will survive because I am who I am." And so here's the picture. Moses, again, discouraged and probably thinking, "What have I gotten myself into?" And God shows up and he says, "I want you to tell the children of Israel, I am Yahweh." And you can feel the power. And he doesn't stop there. Being Yahweh, I love how there's a phrase that's repeated throughout those two verses or three verses. I think it's there seven times. He says, "I am Yahweh and I will bring you from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land of Israel. I will give you the land as a heritage." Now you see the theme change here. Israel discouraged, blaming Moses. Moses, no doubt, thinking, "What am I going to do?" And God shows up and says, "I am Yahweh, and I'm going to tell you what that means. That means I will do what I said I'm going to do." Now, I want to stop right there. Okay? This is the master's class, right? The one thing that I'm supposed to give y'all on Sunday nights. Moses is at a point of decision. That decision is, will he trust God and press forward? Or will he collapse under the scowls and the rejection of Israel? Will he quit and ride it up as a lost cause? You see, the majority of Israel is ready to quit and maintain, go back to the life that they've always known. Go back to serving the Egyptians that they're telling Moses, "Moses, leave us alone. You've gotten us into enough trouble. Don't do anything else." Have you ever told somebody that? They come to help and they tear up more than they fixed. That's kind of the way Israel is at this point. And so Moses has got to make a decision. Everybody else has lost heart. Nobody else wants to continue. Nobody wants out of Egypt anymore. In Exodus, in verse 9, we didn't read it, but it says, "So Moses spoke to us, to the children of Israel, and he gave them the I am the Lord speech. I will, I will, I will." And so Moses spoke to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. So Israel's done. and they haven't even gotten started yet. Moses has got to make a decision. Can I trust God to do what He says He'll do? Long and short of it. God's given him the pep talk. I am God, he says. I will, I will, I will, I will. Moses got to decide, am I going on? Okay? Point I want you to get. You've got to decide whether you're going to continue. Okay? You may be here tonight and you're thinking, man, this is a lot more than I bargained for. It's a lot harder than I expected it to be. And nobody cares anyway, so I think I'll just quit. Wait a minute. Can you imagine if Moses just quit? Moses is the only one at this point who says, okay, God, you're God. You will, and so I will. I trust you. I trust you enough that I'm going to take the next step. And you know where the next thing, next place that they found Moses? The next place that they found Moses was in front of Pharaoh again. Saying again, let my people go and worship in the wilderness. Of course, Pharaoh turns him down. And the miracles begin. The rod that he drops before Pharaoh turns into a serpent. Soon afterwards, the waters are turned into blood. The plague of frogs, the plague of flies, and one thing after another. Moses sees the mighty hand of God because he trusted God to do what he said he'll do. As I was reading this, you know, I come to the conclusion. If I can tell you one thing tonight, trust God enough to keep on keeping on. Okay? Don't quit. Don't make excuses. Well, this is more than I bargained for. Oh, no. We don't need children of Israel people. We need Moses kind of people who, when everybody else is ready to quit, says, okay, I trust God to do what He says He'll do. That's my challenge for you this week. Trust God. You know, we serve the same God that Moses served. Right? And we are notorious for living mediocre. We're notorious for mediocrity as children of God. Because we'll never put ourselves into the position of seeing the power and mighty hand of God. We want it to be easy. We want it to just fall at our feet. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that God's not going to do great things without you. Okay? God was not going to deliver the children of Israel without Moses being right in the middle of it. And you're not going to see the mighty hand of God if you quit. This is too hard. No, it's not too hard. You just trust God to be God. My marriage is in trouble. My husband, nobody can get along with it. Don't you quit. Let God be God. God can change the heart of your old husband. Do you know that? Amen? He can change the heart of your beautiful young wife. God can do great things, but He'll never do them if you quit. Okay? That's the challenge. You may be here tonight, and I want to challenge one last thing. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Jesus Christ gave His life upon Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Now, you've got to make a decision with what you're going to do with that. What are you going to do with the sacrifice that Jesus made on your behalf? The Bible says if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. But He's not going to save you without you. Okay? You've got to call. You've got to ask for that salvation. It's up to you. It's your move. You're at a point tonight, if you've never been saved, this is your move. God brought you here, and I've shared with you that Jesus died for your sins. He took your place upon the cross of Calvary. Now, what are you going to do with it? Will you call upon the name of the Lord for salvation? If so, will you please come forward as we have this verse of invitation? Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your word. And thank You for the reminder that we need to just trust You. that you are God. There is no one like you. And you will do what you said you'll do. You'll never leave us or forsake us. You'll never, never disappoint us. You'll never leave us on our own. So, Lord, give us a stick-to-itiveness, a strength, Lord, to continue pressing forward. Through the disappointments of life, help us, Lord, to press forward. When everybody around us are quitting and giving up, help us to press forward. That, Lord, we may see Your mighty hand in Victory Missionary Baptist Church. That souls will be saved, that the saved will grow, and that, Lord, this whole area of the state will know that You are alive and well within the Victory family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.